Tuesday, February 8th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, Victor Davis Hanson has written an article recently entitled The Ungracious Generation. This is a powerful article, takes a historical look at what our nation has accomplished. He admits that we're not perfect by any means, but our history is something to be admired. He starts his article off by saying the last 2 years have seen an unprecedented escalation in a decades-long war on the American past. But there are lots of logical flaws in attacking prior generations in U.S. history.
I've grown to enjoy the communication and the writings of Victor Davis Hanson. He's got a lot of insights. He's a good communicator. It's really interesting. Look at the point of comfort, safety, and peace that the present generation enjoys because of the sacrifices and labors of the previous generations. And now this generation is attempting, with its professed moral superiority, to critique them, cancel them, eradicate them. We're not just toppling statues, we're toppling people, and we're toppling their ideas. Now, have previous generations made drastic mistakes? Yes. But have they, and are they being addressed through the blessing of the First Amendment that allows the free practice of speech and religion in this interesting American experiment that has been foundational for Western civilization and by which the maturation of the civilization continues as these flaws are identified and removed? Yet you do so without removing those people who put in place the mechanism and the direction whereby these steps of maturation can take place. Note that we have a generation that is canceling the previous generation. Well, let me ask my generation, what do you think they're going to do when they look at our history of killing over 60 million babies in the womb? What do you think they're going to say about us? How quickly will our statues start being toppled? And by the way, who are you going to put in the place of Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln? You're going to put up Che Guevara? You're going to put Malcolm X's statue up? Would you like to take a look at the practice of morality in their lives and other lives that I could name? Who are you going to replace them with? And what are we going to tell the next generation? Hey, here's our great contribution. We have destroyed the definition of marriage, the definition of family. We have destroyed family. Our 12 largest cities have unprecedented murder rates. Our hospitals, if we have our way, become abortuaries. How is our media doing today as opposed to what the media did during the Watergate scandals? And I love when he asked this question, do you think we would have won World War II with only 60% of the population engaged in labor that's actually going to work every day? What would have happened when you have a pandemic like the Spanish flu, which was rampant right in the middle of World War I? Do you think we just brought our troops home because we didn't want to take on that exposure? Where do you think your present standard of living that's unprecedented came from? And by the way, what great infrastructure works have we performed? When did we build a Hoover Dam? When did we build the interstate system? When did we send a man to the moon? What have we done? And by the way, we have unprecedented warriors in our military, Marines, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Army, and unprecedented equipment for them. What have we won? Have we defeated an Axis power? Have we toppled the Berlin Wall? Nope, we haven't done any of that. We had leadership before that knew how to make the tough decisions and get it through from a D-Day to the Battle of Gettysburg, and you can go on and on and on. And by the way, why is it that we have embraced this epidemic of hating the past? Why aren't we able to do what people have always recognized? Every leader has feet of clay. So what do? You emulate their virtues. You eradicate their flaws. That's what people do. I look at King David. There's so much I learned from King David in the Bible, but there's so much in his life I want to eradicate and not do in my life. I look at Moses. I look at Paul, a religious terrorist that gets converted by God's grace. The fact is, a biblical world in life view teaches you to learn from the past and don't repeat the mistakes of the past, but emulate the virtues of the past and live them in the present in order to change the future. Learn from the past without living in the past. Live in the present in order to change the future. And the way you do that is you look at the virtues and you emulate them. You look at the failures in the past, the moral failures or whatever they are, and you eradicate them. That's the way that you function. And so why is it that we have abandoned that? And why is it we can't put in place what we used to enjoy, an immigration system that was legal, whereby people came to be Americans, instead of an illegal immigration whereby people come to be not assimilated but hyphenated? I'm a Mexican-American, I'm a European-American, I'm a African-American. We used to want to be Americans, and an immigration policy that was built on that. And by the way, if in fact the previous generations need to be canceled, how did they build such a society that people will do anything and everything to become a part of it? Well, you know, Tom, we could trace out a lot of the thoughts that he has brought to us, but the biggest question is, what's the answer to it? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think the answer is. The church, I'm going to lay it right at our feet. We need to do what we used to do, which is develop leaders in the church, for the church, and from the church into the world. That's what we need to do, and that's what we are called to do. I'm looking at the pantheon of leaders that we have produced and sent into society and how they have benefited us in government, in business, in media, in all kinds of areas. How do we get back to that? Who is going to be the next pantheon of leaders? Our pantheon of leaders in the past did great things and they had feet of clay. So let's learn from what they did that was great and let's improve upon what they did that needs to be matured. We have no pantheon of leaders now. They're isolated leaders, and I thank the Lord for them. We don't have a pantheon of leaders now. Well, how can we get a pantheon of leaders that attack what is evil and promote that which is righteous? How do we do that for society? Well, I think the way you do it is the Church of Jesus Christ needs to get its job done. It needs to evangelize and make disciples. It needs to train up leaders. We need to realize in our message we've got a gospel that's free. We've got discipleship that costs, and we've got leadership that costs you a lot. But we can produce the leaders that are willing to sacrifice in order to lead us forward, learning from the past, to live in the present, to change the future. And God willing, that can begin in our homes, in our churches, in our families. And that's what the gospel does. As we occupy positions of leadership that God's called us to, we can learn from the past and take it to another level and eradicate the failures and the imperfections and build on them. And you can do so from a gospel foundation. I'm forgiven of my sin. I'm set free from the power of sin. And now I can eradicate sin in order to pursue that which is good and beautiful and true. Those are the leaders we need. So instead of toppling the other leaders in order to bring a revolution of arrogance and self-absorption, why don't we honor and learn from those who went before us, eradicate what they would likely admit needs to be eradicated if they knew what we now know, and then let's go forward to build on something that goes to the next level. You can learn to affirm what was right, remove what was wrong, build on it, and move to the future. That's what you can do. In other words, you can build on a foundation. You don't destroy the foundation. You build on it while you remove the imperfections in the superstructure. What's true of fixer-upper on a house, what's true in a family, what's true in an organization is true in a civilization. Let's learn from the past, live in the present, and change the future by the power of the gospel.
Harry Reader's book, 3D Leadership, which he mentioned, is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. 3D Leadership, defining, developing, and deploying Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/3D. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.